This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
It is our number four of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. As you can tell, Chris Arnold is in riding shotgun with us, planting the flag at the top of the hour.
Salute. Got you down.
Jeff Cavanaugh, Lucius Alexander, myself, Gavin Dawson, along with you. We are the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Hope you're having a fantastic football Friday. We've had Stephen Jones on. We've had Jerry Jones on the show earlier. And we'll have some more Jerry coming up at 5:20. He'll tell you the latest on the cat situation, okay? Do you think we could have a cat sighting in Fayetteville? They got to drum up some cat love for John Stephen if they can drum it up for the Cowboys.
Yes, yes.
Okay.
I think every team is doing itself a disservice if you don't pull some sort of stunt with a black cat this week.
Yeah, you got to try to capitalize.
Mm-hmm. For real.
Cat marketing.
Yeah, it's only, of course, genuine and applies most to the Cowboys. But, you know, other teams would be going for it. I do think the Cowboys should have some sort of thing on the video board.
Yes.
If it's possible just to get a different black cat, I think you could play that as well. There's a lot of different things you could do.
They've got something at Dallas Cowboys on Twitter right now. And it's a short little video where there's this guy who works in Cowboys video production. He's an old guy named John. He's got this handlebar mustache. And it says that he found the cat in this little video. And then Antoine Woods makes a cameo in it like, we got the cat.
Sweet.
So maybe they do something like that during the game.
You know, they should. With the rally squirrel in St. Louis in 2011, they didn't capture the squirrel. Right. They just put it up on the board when there were runners in scoring position.
There you
go. Place went crazy. The next thing you know, the energy is flowing and people believing just a little bit more.
Are you listening, Jerry? Are you listening? Gavin's got this down. That's what you do.
I mean, nobody really wants to go wrangle that feral cat at a MetLife Stadium and bring it back and deal with PETA getting mad at you and everything and trying to domesticate the damn thing. You know, it's feral.
Right.
It'll claw your eyes out.
Sure will.
You know, you don't need to risk any team employees. Just let the damn cat live in New York and we'll know it's an agent for the Cowboys whenever they're up there.
Exactly.
Video. That's the way I'd handle that bad boy. But as far as handling the injury report here, it's not too bad there. You do have a Sean Lee with DNP, but that's a Sean Lee Friday, isn't it? That's a Lee Friday.
I would imagine so.
A Lee day that ends in Y?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You had, who is this, Jeff Heath? No, moved to a full after being limited. He's got a shoulder and knee situation. He was a full participant today. And you had Amari Cooper going from a DNP to a limited, and he is now listed as questionable. You have Cameron Fleming out, and then everybody else is considered good to go for Sunday. So I'd go ahead and take that as a big thumbs up and a win for the week.
You win the injury battle because they'll be without a starting defensive tackle in Linval Joseph. They'll be without Adam Thielen, and you will be without Cam Fleming?
That's yes.
It. Yeah, that'll work.
Okay.
That's it, and most likely Amari Cooper's going to play and be very, very good. You do get a pretty good break. There's nothing more disappointing than the midweek practice injury, and that is what happened to Linval Joseph, as you mentioned there, a defensive tackle. How good of a player is he? Is that a significant loss?
Yeah, I think he's good. I'll be honest. I don't even know who the nose tackle is behind him. I'm sure they have a guy, but they have a pretty good defensive tackle there that's, I would say, above average starter. And when you lose one of those, especially when you're playing against the Cowboys, who would like to run the ball, and the Cowboys, you look at them last week and the way that they were able to run the ball, and then you lose your best interior defender, that's not a lot of fun.
Yeah, and would you say the Cowboys are fourth in the NFL in rush yards per attempt?
Yes, yes. They are dominant offense. Offensively, they're the best in the league. Oh, we got a quick text from Matolo about the cat. He says, General, 214 says, General, we need to put that cat in the witness protection program. There's no way in hell the Giants are going to keep that cat alive much longer.
Oh, dude, you're right.
I could see them killing the cat.
Yes.
That dude is mad.
Very quietly, you know.
Yeah, they wouldn't talk about it.
Snuff him.
That might be the reason the Cowboys couldn't find him, because the report in the New York Post Tuesday morning was that there were members of the Cowboys organization. It didn't say specifically who, but they were talking to security trying to find the cat. It might have already been disappeared, if you know what I'm saying.
Wink, wink.
Down there with Jimmy Hoffa.
Yeah, with the concrete shoes.
Mm-hmm.
But the offensive line discussion there, I think, and Joseph Linval, I think, segues into, you know, what I've been looking forward to talking most about, and that is my four reasons to believe that this team is going to be different in the second half of the season than they were in the first. It's the subject of my video that you can find at youtube.com, Gavin Dawson 1053. Just go ahead and watch that video, and then please subscribe. I'm at 3.5 thousand right now.
Oh,
it's a fancy way of saying.
You didn't have to rub that in.
Yeah.
And hit that like button. Yeah, I always hear that when they're saying it. Yeah. Subscribe and hit the like button.
Hit
that like button.
Please subscribe.
You didn't have to rub in the number, though. That was messed up.
You're getting close, though. And you started like 5 months after me. You're growing faster.
2.8.
Yeah.
Look at you. See?
We've seen how this plays out before in other social media platforms.
Oh, I'll get you.
Yeah, you're going to get me.
Oh, I'm going to get you.
There's no doubt about that. Fast. Can't resist the greatness of Kavanaugh for too long.
We're
going to
take over the world together.
Social media. So number one was the offensive line. I feel like they are playing so much better. Like the first 3 weeks of the season, we talk about Porzingis struggling to get his game legs back. I think it was Travis Frederick struggling to get his sea legs, so to speak. I mean, when New Orleans Saints were reaching out and like karate chopping him to the ground, it looked like a kung fu video. Like, get down, Travis. I was like, holy cow, that's not something I'm expecting from one of the strongest offensive linemen in the game.
Last week, he karate chopped a guy to the ground.
Nice.
He did. I thought it was probably his best game of the season. I bet it was Connor Williams' best game of the season, too. You kind of know what you're going to get from Zach Martin. He's going to be right around perfect. And then Lyle Collins has been pretty dominant this year, which we'll talk a little bit more at 6 o'clock with what's on 105.3thefan.com, because I'll tell you about what he's got coming this week. But
okay.
So like your left tackle is really good. Your right tackle has been really good. Your right guard is outstanding. Mm-hmm. Your center and your left guard are the ones that's like, okay, what are we going to get? And last week was probably the best they've played.
So you've had, you know, key guys injured on your bookends. You've had Zach Martin dealing with something as well. And assuming health, I think we're going to get back to witnessing an offensive line closer to the 2016 Cowboys. I mean, that was Ron Leary and Doug Free.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe Lyle's as good or better than what Doug Free was when he left. But Ron Leary was a force of nature.
Especially on the run.
Yeah.
I mean, he was a guy that just Zeke would just put his hand on his butt and just go.
Okay, so my four reasons the second half's going to be better than the first half. The offensive line just performing at a higher level is number one. The acquisition of Michael Bennett, number two. And we were just talking about it last hour, Jeff. Now this defensive line can operate the way that Rod and Monty imagined when they first got here. They tried to get it with Henry Melton. They had it for a second with David Irving. But now it's like you want to double team anybody on the outside. Okay, well, we're going to knife right up the middle. Your quarterback can't really step into the pocket as consistently. He can't count on that. And for the first six games, I felt like Cowboy opponents could definitely count on, oh, yeah. If I get pressure from the outside, I can walk right up the middle.
And Chris mentioned this from something that John Owning had written about how the Vikings offensive line works. And we'll talk again more about that at 6 o'clock. But they have a first-round center, Garrett Bradbury, that's so far been a disappointment. Pat Elflein, their left guard, is a problem spot. Josh Klein, their right guard. They're all three kind of problem spots.
Nice.
But their tackles, Brian O'Neill, the right tackle, he's been really good. Riley Reiff, the left tackle, he's good. So there's going to be an opportunity for Michael Bennett, for Malik Collins, for those guys. And I think your defensive ends can beat their tackles, but their tackles are good. Their interior offensive line is a problem. Malik Collins and Michael Bennett should be able to get in Kirk Cousins' face and affect him. And when you do that, he tends to do bad things.
And you mentioned the defensive ends. Remember, Robert Quinn's got 800,000 reasons to get a sack.
Yeah, you're right about that, and it's coming pretty soon.
Half a sack.
I did see a story in the Star Tribune or something that while they like Reiff, is that how you say it, Riley Reiff, Reiff?
Overall, I said Reiff.
Okay.
Do what you want.
But, yeah, they say there's been a couple of games where they're like, holy crap, Riley's getting owned out there. So he's gettable. He's not like a total lockdown type of left tackle. Okay, reason number three that this team is going to be different and better is the takeaways that we're now getting with the ball god Jordan Lewis being a more consistent player and Xavier Woods really now starting to show what Jeff was talking about all year. I don't know if this is going to continue. It probably won't. I remember last year around this time, Leighton Vander Esch had back-to-back games where he had interceptions, and we were thinking, oh, is he going to be a takeaway linebacker? And he hasn't been. It was his two games. But Jordan and Xavier are the guys that can make us forget about what has been 12 years of being unable to take the football away. It's been freaking ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all the names you could remember from T. New to Michael Jenkins to Ken Hamlin and everything in between. Mm-hmm. They've tried three different groups. Maybe finally we're at the end of the line. And Jeff had the stat earlier. They're now 11th
in the
NFL in takeaways after getting 7 over the last two games.
It's funny because some of their guys, even they don't make interceptions while they're here, and then they leave and they do. Mm-hmm. That happened to Brandon Carr. Like, he got interceptions. He came here and he didn't. He left and he did again. Like, what is happening, Dallas?
Wow. Well, they're getting interceptions the last couple of games. In general, I hate to critique you on this, but you mispronounce their names.
Okay.
It is Ball God, as you already know.
Yeah.
Because you cussed saying his name there, right?
Yeah.
That's
big
Jordan
fan
Lewis.
Of,
he has
big
Ball
fan
God.
Of BG.
And Xavier Woods' name is now NFC Defensive Player of the Week, Xavier Woods.
Yeah, okay.
Getting it right.
And then the fourth reason there, and I appreciate that clarification mm-hmm. there, C.A., the fourth reason, and I think they are going to have to be very, very mindful and pay close attention. You got Marshawn Lee, a game and a half worth of the best defense we've seen from this team. I wouldn't want to risk going away from him so much that dynamic comes off the field. You have a dogfight for the division. Wild card might be out of the picture, especially if you lose this game. So I'm excited to see Leighton Vander Esch back in there. I like Jalen Smith and Joe Thomas. I think Sean Lee's got to be the ringleader, and you got to push the envelope, hold your breath, and cross your fingers that he stays healthy and ride this thing out. Once the playoffs are clinched, he comes off the field. Playoffs start back up. He goes back on for 75% of the plays. I think Sean should get the most snaps. I think he's clearly still their best linebacker, and it's not going to be perfect. It's not like he's young, prime Sean Lee. You can put him out there and he struggle. And if he does struggle, then maybe you take him off the field for that game, but then you plug him right back in afterwards. He has the ability to diagnose. He brings something to this team that nobody else can. And I'll tell you what, another misnomer in the NFL and pro sports in general is that young players are the way to get it done. I'm sorry. The way to get it done is what they're showing you in New England. The Rams showed you last year. The Saints are doing it. It is with veteran players, know-how. The only reason teams go so young is for salary cap reasons. But if you can balance it better with veteran experience, it pays massive dividends if you can keep those guys healthy.
Old people can help.
Yes, they can. Okay, speaking of people, Mavs and Knicks tonight at 7:30. CA is in his gear, and he's going to be heading over there in, what, about 45 minutes or so?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. It's going to be a good game.
To MC. It would be disappointing if they lose, but it is possible.
It's very possible because they're a young team, and they're still figuring out stuff. But at the same time, they should win this game. Knicks only won one game this year.
How about a wagering trend on that note here? There is a stat that stands out in the game that might make some want to place a bet on the Knicks with 11 points. It's an 11-point spread. Dallas is 0-4 against the spread as a home favorite this season. The Knicks are 3-2 as a road underdog. So that tells you, as you're heading to the maybe you're heading down there to have some coldies or whatever, and you're going to have a little dinner, and then you're going to head in and think, oh, man, these Knicks are horrible, man. We stole Porzingis from. They got Marcus Morris.
Mm-hmm.
They got Julius Randle,
Randle
DFW guy. And then R.J. Barrett, the rookie. Mm-hmm. So this is a Knicks team that should be pretty dang dangerous if you go to sleep, right? And especially with the trends of the Mavs so far not covering the spread at home. I would expect a victory, but in single digits.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What we learned from Jerry about Amari Cooper and the game against the Vikings, Jerry's got a cat update for you and more coming up next here in the G-Bag Nation. Welcome back, G-Bag Nation. We're set for our Friday conversation with Cowboys radio analyst Babe Laufenberg, former Cowboys quarterback. Segment's brought to you by Amazon, and it's brought to you by the Frankels. If you're hurt in an accident, it's not your fault. Call the office of Frankel & Frankel at 214-333-3333 or go online to frankelfirm.com. And here he is, Babe. Good afternoon / evening to you. How you doing?
We're in the late afternoon, early evening, aren't we?
Yes, sir, we are. And that's we'll be clearly into the evening by the time we come around to Sunday night's game. That's been a big focus of our Football Friday discussions. I guess my question for you, who do you think the Cowboys are? I mean, they were on the ropes against the Giants until that cat showed up, Babe, and That's scary considering what had happened against the Jets a few weeks earlier. But you look in the advanced data, and there's a lot of things that point to this Cowboys team being really, really good. So who do you say they are?
It's a good question, and I don't think we know for sure, but I do think they're a pretty good team. Now, they've won three to start the season, then they lost three. Now they're trying for three in a row to win. Now hopefully it doesn't go back the other way and go three in a row losing. You know what's funny? One thing that I always look at for teams is the point differential. And the Cowboys are third in that. New England's number one. They've outscored the opposition by 172 points, so they've been ridiculous, as we know. Wow. San Francisco's number two, and they're at 133. And combined, those two teams have one loss, correct?
Yeah.
And then at number three are the Cowboys. They're plus 85. And I always remember, and go back to this years ago, but Denver and San Diego, and they were San Diego at the time, each finished.
I still call them San Diego.
Yeah, well, each finished 8-8. And at the end of the season, though, Denver had outscored the opposition by like 150 or whatever. It was like, how can you go 8-8 outscoring by that many points? And San Diego was outscored by about 100 points. And the next year, they reverted back to what they really should have been, and that was Denver went like 12-4, and San Diego went 4-12. So I look at point differential, and again, Cowboys are plus 85, the third in the NFL. So to me, that's always a pretty good sign that you've got a good team.
So the Vikings are a pretty good team, too.
They
and I
are.
Think when you look at their defense, every level of it's got some pretty good players. What do you view as the biggest opportunity for the Cowboys offense?
Yeah.
Well, this is kind of a strange stat, and I think I heard you talking about it, Jeff, but the Vikings have given up more receptions to wide receivers than any team in the NFL. Now, their linebackers are really, really, really good. Anthony Barr and Eric Kendricks, their middle linebacker, they're just outstanding. Ironically, they both came from UCLA. Ironically, they were not only teammates there, they were roommates there.
They're back-to-back first-rounders for Minnesota, right?
Kendricks was a second-rounder.
Okay, yep, you're right.
Yep, but Anthony Barr was taken with the 9th pick in the draft. It was funny because, you know, Adam Zimmer, Mike Zimmer's son, is the linebackers coach there.
Okay.
Yeah, so Anthony Barr was the first draft pick that Zimmer ever had as a head coach. So anyway, I called him up the one time or texted him and said, hey, is Adam, you know, the son who's coaching linebackers, running the draft? Because you got pretty good job stability when, you know, you take a first rounder and then you take a second rounder and they both can play. You become a pretty good linebackers coach, right? When you allocate those resources.
Yeah, good
stuff. But, you know, Zimmer's defenses are always so tough. We know that. Everybody that's watched him, whether he's been in Cincinnati since he got to Minnesota, they were the number one third down defense the last 2 years. Not up there at the top now, but they probably will be close to it by the end of the season. He just makes it very tough on you. He really does.
Hey, babe, it's been about a month since Zeke and Tony Pollard had 100 yards each, and everybody was like, oh, Tony Pollard, and he's been unleashed, but he didn't get unleashed. And against the Giants, it looked like they were going to try, and he had a couple of problems handling the ball. Do you think this might be the opportunity for him, or does the Minnesota defense appear to be too stout to try some things with Pollard?
No, I think you're going to see a little bit more of him. I mean, kind of a couple of reasons. One, he gives you – a little bit of a big play threat that Zeke has just really not been this year. The second thing is there's going to be a stretch of games coming up here.
Oh, yeah.
Where, you know, they've got a bunch of games in a short period of time.
Yeah, they got four games in 19 days.
Yeah, and so I just, at some point, you know, I don't see Zeke carrying the ball 20 times and coming back 6 days later and carrying it 23 times and then coming back 4 days later. And so I think they're going to have to give Zeke a little bit of break here and, you know, put Tony Pollard in for a couple of series. You know, obviously he's not going to play the whole game for you. But it's funny, Dalvin Cook, he's only taken 70% of the snaps for Minnesota. I don't know what Zeke's number is, quite honestly, but I'll bet you he's up there around 80%. I need to look that up now that I say it.
It's Babe Laufenberg here with us on your home of the Cowboys, 105.3 The Fan.
What do you think about the Cowboys' ability to stop that run game with the addition of Michael Bennett? How big of a difference has he been able to make just as one guy that can kind of spell multiple guys?
Well, I thought he made a pretty big difference last week, and I think Jason Garrett addressed it a little bit this week, or might have been Richard. I apologize. I forget exactly who, but, you know, he had been playing football. So when he got signed here, it wasn't like a guy who you got off the street, hadn't played, got to work him up to speed. So he'd obviously been playing football, although he had a little break there with New England. Didn't play much, then got a suspension, and then down he came. But, no, I think he makes a difference. Obviously, he's a really good player. And I was talking to Rod Marinelli about him, and I said, has he fit into the room? And he said, not only has he fit into the room, he said he's added to the room.
Hey.
So he obviously hasn't talked to the media, but in, you know, in that locker room and in the meeting rooms and everything else, he practices hard, from what I understand, because all we get to see is see him stretch. But he practices hard, and he's been a good teammate.
Babe, 9 NFC teams are over 500. Do you feel like this field of contenders is bigger and better than usual in the conference?
I do. It's going to take, gosh, I don't know what it's going to take in terms of wins to be the wild card team, but you're not going to get in there with 9 wins. It doesn't appear. Again, everybody's going to be playing each other here shortly, and so somebody's going to have to lose those games. But, yeah, I recommend winning your division. And I really thought when the Cowboys played Philadelphia on October 20th, I said, hey, from here, before the result of that game, I said, there's going to be games played in between here, but I think it's going to come down to December 22nd at Philadelphia with these two teams. I don't think anybody's going to separate from the other, quite honestly. Now, they could, but I just think, much like last year when the two teams met late in December to see who was going to be the division champ, I think you circle that December 22nd game and say, we better be ready for that one.
You know, I feel like both teams are good.
Would you guys do me a favor? Please do not tell Coach Garrett that I'm looking to December 22nd.
Okay, yes. Okay,
you're allowed to.
He
would not approve. You're allowed to.
Yeah,
he's
you
not.
Are.
Got to trust the process
what
there,
if,
babe.
Hey, what if in his presser you just said, yeah, Coach, that Philadelphia game, December 22nd. Do you think he'd go for it? Just give you that look.
Babe, we're concerned with being the best version of ourselves today. Just the practice today. We'll be ready at 7:20 p.m. on Sunday night.
Do you notice he has never said? He always talks about, "Hey, we're going to, we're going to have a good walkthrough, and we're going to have a good meeting, and we're going to have good." He never says, "I'm going to have a good press conference," does he?
He
never says, "I want to do this press conference to the best of my ability."
And he never wants to be on time for it either.
That's fine.
People got really mad at me on Twitter for joking about that. I was like, the Cowboys sent players home for being late, but Garrett's late to his presser every single day.
I was listening and I loved it, yeah. in the grand scheme of things, with what you have, all that's on your plate as a head coach, probably being on time for us in the media is probably not line one, as he likes to say.
Mm-hmm. No, maybe not your top priority, but we like to believe it's a reflection of something about your personality that's hypocritical.
Yes,
I love it.
Okay. So both the Cowboys and Eagles are probably going to be 5-1 in division, don't you? I mean, because chances are the Cowboys go there and the Eagles and Cowboys split. So these conference games, as far as tiebreakers, this could be massive. This could be one of the two or three most important games left in the remaining eight, babe.
Well, and they lost to Green Bay, obviously. They lost to New Orleans. So when it comes down and you're matching up at the end of the season, conference record or head-to-head, you're down on those two. That Philadelphia game looms so large, and I know it's a long way off, but I just get the feeling they're going to kind of – each of them are going to win a couple, then lose one, and win a couple, and it's – they're going to be within a game of each other when they play that game in December. I just feel that.
Yeah, and I guess the good news is the Eagles did manage to lose at Atlanta and home against Detroit before they got their situation figured out. So you're kind of neck and neck with the Eagles in most every way imaginable right now when it comes to that postseason seeding. But huge NFC test. Okay, so outside the division, this team has struggled so far for the Cowboys. Is there any theory you have on why a team is so good against the opponents they're familiar with, but up to this point, is it a sample size deal, or is there some sort of a common thread that runs through that?
Let me say this: if there is a common thread, I haven't found it, because I've kind of looked at it and you say, "Gosh, why do they?" Now, obviously, recently when you're playing Washington and the Giants, you should be pretty good because they've been pretty bad. But no, I don't see any reason why they should be good. But let me just say this: first order of business when your season starts is let's win our division games. And they've been able to do that really for the last 3 years. And so obviously when you're trying to get into the playoffs, the first order of business is you want to win your division. Now you want all that other stuff, right? You want home field, you want want to get that first round bye. But number one is you want to win your division, and they've been good in divisional games, and that's the way you do it.
All right, babe, this is a question that I've already expressed an opinion on that I believe will be unpopular in these parts, but I'm going to put you on the spot.
I agree with you.
Who has better defensive ends, the Cowboys or the Vikings?
Oh, wow. Well, I'll tell you this. The Vikings, two defensive ends, Griffin and Danielle Hunter, they lead the league for sacks in terms of combined sacks for defensive ends. So if you want to look at that stat.
I mean, I'll take either pair. I'd be fine with it, but those guys are woo.
They're pretty darn good. And it's funny how you said, I'll take either pair. That's what I always go back to, the whole Barry Sanders, Emmitt Smith debate.
Yeah.
Which one do you want? And I always just say, look, you take who you want, and I'll take the other guy, and I'll be okay with it.
That's a good answer. That's a good answer. Hey,
So that's about it. If you said, I can win with the Vikings defensive ends, and then if you tell me, well, no, you're going to get the Cowboys defensive ends, I'd say, that's fine, too. I'll win with those guys.
All right, you mentioned the NFC East. So for this game tonight, the Vikings have the Packers in the NFC North, and the Cowboys, of course, have the Eagles in the NFC East. Who needs this game more, looking at the remainder of the schedule?
It's a good question. Honestly, I'm just very parochial in my thinking, and I'm going to say the Cowboys need it.
Must win?
No. Not 9 games into it. Again, I just keep going back to, we're going to play Philadelphia December 22nd, and I think that's going to decide the division. Mm-hmm. So I don't look at this as a must win 9 weeks into it. And you know, they're sitting here at 5-3, obviously Minnesota 6-3, they get the bye coming up later on, but Minnesota, you know, obviously needs to keep pace with Green Bay. And the Cowboys don't necessarily have to keep pace with Philadelphia because, again, they're going to get them back another time.
Appreciate the insights as always, babe. Have a great weekend and a good call Sunday night. And we'll talk to you next week.
We'll see you Sunday.
Have a great weekend.
There he goes. He's Babe Laufenberg with us on The Fan. Okay, time for a couple of Jerry cuts in here. First cut, I want to play cut number 7. As the KNC guys asked Jerry Jones today, what do you feel when you hear that Amari says his knee is manageable? Here was Jerry's answer.
Well, his MRI or his assessment of where he is right now would give him a total clean bill of health if we were drafting him tonight or if we were signing him tonight. And so let's get that straight, that manageable, I'm sure he's referring to his ability to execute at the level that he does. Now, nobody puts any more torque, nobody puts any more pressure on ligaments or his body than Cooper does in terms of the velocity that he's moving around out there with. So that's a big statement when he says it's workable.
Okay, so I think good news that the MRIs don't show structural damage, and if he's draftable, then boom, he'd be right there in the top 5 or wherever he was picked. And you know, I think Jerry's letting us in on something pretty good there, just the amount of torque. Nobody puts more on him because, you know, changing direction that quick, there's a price to pay.
Yeah, you don't really think about that often, but the guys who are the absolute best route runners, it means they're the quickest, it means they change direction the best, and it means their ankles might hurt sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, the Derrick Rose theory, we could call it,
Most bodies can't do that.
No. Okay, and then here he is on the cat, as Corey and Kevin asked him about that cat situation in New York, and Jerry's got some comedic storytelling skills that he puts to work once again.
Where's that cat? Oh, I see it. My bad. Sorry.
Got one.
I'm an idiot.
Boom. I guess the first thing we have to ask is, has the cat been secured by the Dallas Cowboys organization?
Hey, I just read a little note that they're trying to find that cat in that big stadium. And but we've got him hit out up there. He's only going to come out for Cowboy games.
Nice. Is it all Cowboys games or just the really clutch ones?
You got to have good cat communication to be effective in the NFL today.
Well done, Jerry. Yeah. Once again.
Oh, real quick, Atolo texted in. We were saying, what can we do to, you know, you don't have the cat here in Texas, but you had an idea like doing something with the video screens. Yeah.
They didn't catch that squirrel in St. Louis, but the squirrel still blessed them by putting it on the video board.
We had Atolo text in, said, Jerry, if you're listening, cat hologram.
Oh, I like it. Oh, dude.
Yeah, put it on
That's
the field.
Money right there. Yeah, you could, it's not super imposing, but they could have that cat dancing up there.
Like shining a laser in an opponent's eye. Have a cat walk across there right before the other team starts to drive.
Now we're talking, Jeff. Okay, what do you have in mind for the next segment, sir?
How about the most amazing sports movie come to life moment ever? It just happened. It's next.
Dallas Truck World has over 800 pre-owned trucks, cars, and SUVs to choose from. They all come with a 7-day return policy for your peace of mind. Check out DallasTruckWorld.com.
Thanks, Lucius. Coming up at 6, we'll take a look at what is on 1053thefan.com. In the meantime, here is Jeff.
This is my favorite sports story of all time.
Really?
I have never seen a story that has tickled me more.
Oh, I think I know where you're going.
Then this story tickles me.
Life imitating art?
Yes.
Yeah.
I would like to draw our attention into the Pimp Cup and talk to Lucius for a moment about an outstanding basketball movie.
A movie that was right in your wheelhouse.
Blue Chips?
Yeah.
Everybody seen Blue Chips?
Yeah. Rotten Tomatoes gave it a 37%, so screw Rotten Tomatoes.
Screw them.
Nick Nolte.
And who who else was in that movie?
Larry Bird was in that movie. Shaq was in that movie.
Mm-hmm.
God, was No, that was another movie.
One more basketball player,
there was
maybe?
More basketball,
Big Country. Yeah.
Penny Hardaway, maybe, in that movie?
Yeah. I think he starred as the name Butch McRae.
Butch McRae.
Butch McRae.
Is Penny Hardaway's character in the movie Blue Chips, okay?
You guys know this, like we'd know Teen Wolf or...
Don't forget that Nick Nolte was supposed to be Bobby Knight, basically, in that movie, where he followed Bobby around for a whole season and, like, shadowed him.
Yeah.
So all the mannerisms of Bobby is what you're seeing.
And he coached against Bobby in the last game.
Sure did.
Now,
talk to him, Jeffrey.
So Butch McRae. Actually, before Butch McRae, I forgot the white guy's name, the basketball player.
Ricky Rowe.
Okay, so Ricky walks in, and he's like, I'm a blue chip prospect. I'll take 30 grand in a duffel bag, and my dad needs a tractor.
Absolutely.
Bam, they hook him up. Shaq's character didn't want anything, and they still ended up getting him like a Lexus or something. They got him a car anyway. Mm-hmm. But Butch McRae, Penny Hardaway's character, needed a job.
His mama needed a job.
Yes. For his mom, he needed her to get a job and a house.
Okay, that's reasonable.
So Nick Nolte got his mom, Penny Hardaway, Butch McRae's mom, a job and a house.
Okay.
And so Penny Hardaway, a.k.a. Butch McRae, went to that college. They went and won the championship. Then Nick Nolte got all sentimental on us and admitted everything at the end of the year presser, and so they all got suspended. But keeping that in mind, Penny Hardaway is the head coach at Memphis right now.
Yes, he is.
Penny Hardaway's best player, potential number one overall pick, James Wiseman, got suspended because Penny Hardaway helped pay for him and his mom to move to Memphis while he was in high school.
Blue chips.
Get her a house and a job, too?
Blue chips.
Yes.
No way.
Yes.
Wow.
Oh, my
He did
goodness.
Exactly what was did done exactly. for him in the movie Blue Chips.
Hey, man, the movie's real.
This is the greatest sports story ever.
Oh,
so,
my.
So, like 30 minutes ago, the kid was suspended, but now apparently the kid's got a really good lawyer. Because they got it through in court where that's going to be on hold until something's finished or whatever. But exactly what Penny did in the movie, Penny then did for somebody in real life. And that kid is about to be suspended. The greatest sports story of my life.
That's pretty exceptional.
Holy
right there.
Cow.
How do you think that all comes together? Do you think Penny was like, man, I really need to get this kid some help? But apparently... You know, his only experience or resource was what had happened in the movie.
Yeah, what about a house and a job for mom? You know, that's what I've seen.
Yeah,
it worked for me.
And saw the script up there.
Wow.
That's my guy.
That is amazing. I hope we end up with this guy on our team, though, James Wiseman. Looks like he's one of the two best prospects in the 2020 draft.
He's got it going on.
He knows.
Yeah. All right. Shout out to Penny Hardaway. Yeah. Life imitates art sometimes.
By the way, that movie right there got Penny on the Magics. Because that's when Penny met Shaq for the first time. They
Look
met each other.
There.
Nice.
Yeah, they worked out, and Shaq was like, we got to get this guy to the Magics. And that's how it happened.
At first, did he think he was just an actor? He thought he was the only basketball player there. He's like, man, this actor is a baller.
Kind of tall, too.
Yes.
He's got skills.
Okay, in other news, other suspension news. The number one team in the country, Ohio State, at college football.
They're not number one. You said they're most talented.
They're number one.
LSU's number one. Oh, you're right, in the college football
playoff poll.
There we
go. Ohio State is number one in the country. Mm-hmm. Their best player, Chase Young, and if it weren't for quarterbacks, he'd be the favorite to be the number one overall pick, Chase Young. And if he were going to play every game, he'd have a chance to win the Heisman, Chase Young. Mm. Defensive end is suspended. He will not play Saturday against Maryland.
Did Penny buy him a house?
Hey, man, come on, bro. You always made me cuss.
I'm just saying.
The athletic department is looking into a possible NCAA issue from 2018. According to their release, he tweeted, Chase Young did, that he made a mistake last year by accepting a loan from a family friend I've known since the summer before my freshman year at Ohio State. I repaid it in full last summer, and I'm working with the university and NCAA to get back on the field as soon as possible. Now,
he tweeted that today?
Yes.
Okay.
If he misses the Maryland game, whatever. Mm-hmm. Well, no big deal.
He's from Maryland. He probably really wanted to play in it.
I bet he'll get over it. I bet he'll get over it.
Yeah, Maryland's down this year.
If he misses the Rutgers game that follows that, might get over it. Mm-hmm. But if this turns into a situation like Todd Gurley had at Georgia, where he had to miss four games when he got suspended for something like this, he would then miss the game against number four Penn State in the playoff rankings and the game against Michigan, and might get them knocked out of the playoff picture because he is their best player.
And, for taking a loan.
Is he better than Nick Bosa?
That's a great question. He's a better college player.
Mm-hmm.
God, Nick Bosa has already done it in the NFL, so I'm going to say no. But Chase Young is...
he's up there.
He's probably, if he didn't get suspended, the first legitimate threat to win the Heisman playing defense in 15, 20 years.
Mm.
He might have had a 20-sack season if he hadn't got suspended. He's at 13 and a half. He had four against Wisconsin. The dude's incredible.
So
he's the best player in the country.
He might be suspended for a little while here. I'm going to have a theory, and I'm going to call it a conspiracy theory. Jim Harbaugh turned him in because Jim Harbaugh at Michigan has never beaten Ohio State ever. His job's on the line if they don't win that game.
I could see that.
Mm-hmm.
I will also say that I want to investigate his story for a second. With the preface that I believe you should be able to take a loan from anybody you want if you pay it back, and you should be able to accept money from anybody you want to play sports if they want to pay you to play sports, because he's the most popular player on a team that has a $3 billion network deal, and he's the player that when they get to the playoffs, there's going to be a $7 billion network deal, mm-hmm. and they're paying to watch him play, and they're making money off of him playing, and blah, 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 blah.
You can't do anything.
You can't capitalize. What do you think this is, America?
Student athlete.
You couldn't give me that pin that you're holding right now just for a tattoo, cuz.
But to investigate.
Couldn't do it.
But now I would like to investigate his story. Accepting a loan from a family friend. You guys have family friends?
Sure.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I don't think any that could extend me a loan.
How many family friends? Like, pick a family friend that you think of off the top of your head. How long have you known?
At least
my whole life feels like.
My whole life. That's a family friend.
Kind of how it goes with family friends, right?
Years and years.
It's a family friend.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
My buddy Brian, we used to take baths together when we were two. Our parents would just throw us in the tub together.
You want to put that out there?
Right?
You should have talked to Brian about putting that out there first, but if that's what you want to do.
He's cool. He'll be fine.
I had a buddy's dad try to do that to us at 14 years old.
Oh, hell no.
I'd have drawn the line.
I'm good.
I'd have drawn the line.
Yeah. I don't need to shower.
Mm-mm.
So accepting a loan from a family friend I've known since the summer before my freshman year.
That counts.
At Ohio State.
Oh, wait a minute.
You made a new family friend a couple months before you went to school at Ohio State?
I thought you were going to say
family friend is a booster.
Yes. Yeah. I was thinking you would say freshman in high school. No, freshman before college?
Come on, that's a booster. We made a great family friend right before I enrolled. It was insane. And then they gave me a loan.
Uncle Moneybags.
Mom and dad came to school.
That's beautiful. Wild.
We were just getting to know people.
Wink, wink.
Well,
you got a new social circle.
Hopefully the NCAA.
Expanded a social circle.
Hopefully the NCAA comes back with a statement that says, we're really sorry we've ever suspended anyone for this stuff. We apologize for accepting free labor for generations.
Mm-hmm.
And from here on out, if you want to make money, that'll be great. Have a good time. Now, in other news.
Other news.
I believe it is finally time to squash the gender reveal once and for all.
Yeah.
It's getting out of control.
Yeah, it can get dangerous. It can get embarrassing. And it's unnecessary.
In Texas, the story's from today. We had a plane crash.
No.
And doing a gender reveal?
Doing a gender reveal.
You are kidding.
What was it? A parachute gender reveal? Or
pilot flew up in his little crop duster.
Oh.
Like the guy in Independence Day. I'm right. A pilot. I can fly. He's up there in a crop duster, dropped down to a very low altitude to drop 350 gallons of pink water as the gender reveal. It's a girl! Only problem is the pilot must not have been that good.
Oh, he pulled. Yeah, wow.
Crashed the plane.
You got to pull up, right? Pull back.
And they weren't even it was two people in the plane. The plane was made for one person, so they're going to get in trouble for that. They had two people in a one-seater plane and then mashed into the ground instead of doing the gender reveal properly.
Well, was the pink dust revealed at least after impact?
I'm sure of it. I'm sure.
It blew up pink. It blew up pink.
If not, get your money's worth.
The bright side.
There's definitely red.
Stop.
Fire and blood.
Yes. I can't believe you.
The pilot, here's the best part about these little crop dusters. The pilot, 49-year-old Raj L. Horan of Plainview, Texas, was unharmed.
Wow.
Oh, he
crashed a plane and he was unharmed.
He must have ejected.
No.
Good airbags.
Wow.
Just unharmed. While one passenger suffered minor injuries.
They are lucky.
Hell of a plane.
The FAA noted it was a single-seat aircraft not designed for two people. Now, you put that on top of what happened in October in Iowa when a woman was killed at a gender reveal party. Her family accidentally created a pipe bomb.
No. Wow.
Trying to make a little explosion for the gender reveal.
Was it a girl or a boy? just wondering.
Probably a boy with the pipe bomb.
Right. And, of course, the Arizona wildfire that burned 47,000 acres of land that started with a gender reveal smoke bomb.
Oh, geez.
I believe it's time to go ahead and put the gender reveal to bed, everybody.
That's safe to say it's jumped the shark at this point.
Yeah. Just a
you
little
can't
bit.
Can't out-top these things now.
But Penny Hardaway did exactly what they did for Butch McRae in Blue Chips.
Boom.
Love it.
Penny Hardaway gave the same benefits to a player that he's coaching that he got in a movie 25 years ago.
It worked for him.
It's crazy.
It is a candidate for Sports Story of the Year, I believe, Jeff.
That's insane.
It's a matchup.
Okay. Rangers have expressed interest in who? We're going to take a look at what is on 105throughthefan.com coming up next in the G-Bag Nation.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.